Es khazar zeh khnesh bar khaz shang bim yuhudim sakhti vam staf kufu test. Perik isha basra perik shisha osar. Zok the heilige mishnah b'siyata d'shmaya, if a woman's husband and her co-wife went overseas and people come and told her that her husband died, she may not marry another man or do yibam, because it must first be determined whether she, the co-wife, was pregnant. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. If a woman's husband died childless and without any brothers, but his mother is overseas, we don't have to be concerned that maybe she had a son and the woman is therefore subject to yibam. However, if the mother-in-law went overseas when she was pregnant, then we do have to be concerned that she had a son and the woman may therefore be subject to yibam. Rabbi Shua says, even in that case, we don't have to be concerned. Fact number, what's meant by the words she, the co-wife? The Gemara says, the is teaching that we only have to be concerned that whether that co-wife that she knows about is pregnant. We don't have to be concerned that maybe when the husband was overseas, he married another woman who then became pregnant. The Mishnah said, "Leitinasi v'leiti yabim v'cholu, v'leitis yabim v'cholu." We can understand why she can't do yibum, because maybe the co-wife was pregnant. However, why can't she marry another man? We should follow the majority of women. The majority of women, of married women, have children. Based on this majority, so we should say that she's allowed to marry another man. Do we say, should we say that Mishnah follows Rav Meir, who's concerned for the minority case? Cheshinu lemiut. Mar says, no, can even follow the Rabbanon, because even they only follow the majority when the majority is in front of us, like 9 out of 10 shops being kosher, but not in the case where the majority is women of the world, who's not a Ruba that the Issa come on. Fechma, we find the Rabbanon follow the majority who's not in front of us when they say that a minor may do yibam, since most minors will eventually be capable of having children. Mar said, it must be like we suggested earlier, the Mishnah only follows Rabbi Meir. In fact, where the Mishnah says that we don't have to be concerned that the husband's mother gave birth to a son, thus bringing a yavam into the world. Now, most married women have children. Some miscarry from the birth, but the ones who do have children are 50% boys, 50% girls. So if we join the miscarriages to the girls, it leaves a minority who have boys. If the Mishnah follows her mayor, so we should be concerned for this miut that have boys, and therefore she should be asked to marry another man. The Mar says, since there's a chazaka that this woman is allowed to marry another man because the mother-in-law left without being pregnant, her mayor is not concerned for the miut. In the previous case of the Mishnah, where the husband had a brother and her husband and co-wife went overseas, and the husband then died, she should be allowed to do yibum because she has a chazaka that she's subject to yibum. Rav Nachman named Rav Ravua said, the previous case of the Mishnah, which carries the karis penalty, causes us to be concerned. The later part of the Mishnah was only a lav, so we're not going to be choishes. Rav asked, but they're both assumed the raisas. Who cares if one's karis, one's only a lav? Rav said, in the earlier case, the chazaka says to allow her to do yibum, whereas the majority says she may marry any man since most women have children. So when we take the minority of women who don't have children, which also allows her to have yibum, and join it with the chazaka, we have a 50-50 suffix, whether she's mutter for yibum or to marry another man. Therefore, we don't let her marry or do yibum. However, in the later case, the chazaka and the majority both say to allow her to marry another man. Therefore, the possibility that a son was born is considered to be a miut, the miut, for which even Rav Meir is not concerned. The Mishnah said, why is she also forever? Why can't she just do chalitza? So Zeiri said, she has to wait three months before doing chalitza on her own account, meaning chalitza can't be done within 3 months of the death. And then when she's unsure of whether her tzara was pregnant, she has to wait 9 months from the death to make sure that at that point, even if her tzara was pregnant, she's no longer pregnant. Because chalitza can't be done during the pregnancy of the tzara either. And then she could do chalitza. Rav Hanina said that she has to wait 3 months on her own account, and she has to wait forever on the account of the tzara, because she may never do chalitza unless she knows that the co-wife did not have a baby. Why can't she do chalitza in either case? If the co-wife had a baby, she's anyway free to marry, and if not, now she's doing chalitza. So Abaye bar Oven and Rav Hanina bar Oven both said, it's a gzeira that she gets chalitza and then finds out that the co-wife had a child, will have to announce that she's now mutter to a kohen. In fact, what's wrong with making such an announcement? The Marissa is concerned that someone who is not aware of the announcement will see her marry a kohen and will think that a chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen. In fact, the previous mission said that when a woman says she had a child overseas and that her husband died and then her child died, she's not allowed to marry him, has to get chalitza. She can't do yibum, but she gets chalitza. Now, why are we not concerned over there that in that case witnesses will testify to the facts as she stated them, in which case a chalitza will not have been needed, and then we'll have to announce that she's mutter to a kohen? Papa said the case over there is talking about a woman who was already a divorcee and therefore anyway usher to a kohen. Here, but the son of Rav Huna said the case is where she says that she, her husband, and her son were all hiding in a cave at the time of the death, so it's not possible for witnesses to later come and corroborate her testimony. Zuck the Mishnah, if the wives of two brothers came back from overseas and each says that their husband died, each one is usher to marry another man because of the husband of the other woman, because they can't rely on the testimony of the other woman, the tzara, because the tzara is one of the women who we said are not believed to testify to permit their woman to marry. Zuck the Mishnah. Mishnah, if one of the women have witnesses to corroborate her testimony, so she remains aser because she can't rely on the other woman's testimony, but the other woman could rely on hers because now she has edim, and therefore that other woman would be mutter to marry. If one of the women have children and the other does not, the one who has children may marry and the other one may not. If they each did yibum to another brother and those brothers then died childless, they may not marry other men. The problem that existed prior to the yibum now returns and is a problem again. Rabbi Elazar says, since they already married through yibum, they become mutter to marry other men at this point as well. The Mari brings a brace that says, if one of the women had witnesses corroborating her testimony and she had children, and the other woman did not have witnesses or children, in this case, both of them will be mutter to marry, because the one who has children anyway is not subject to yibum, and the other one has witnesses that her yavam died, and therefore she'll also be able to marry other men.